How and who compiled the Greek canon, New Testament? New Testament, New Testament, means new covenant that God made with mankind through Jesus Christ and its implications. The New Testament is centered on the Messiah, Jesus Christ of Nazareth. It is called the Greek canon because the early writers wrote the books under the inspiration of Holy Spirit in Koine Greek. Some believe Matthew wrote in Aramaic. Greek was the universal language as English is today. It was spoken from Israel to Russia and surrounding regions. In the New Testament, several Aramaic words and phrases occur, modified to Greek. Jesus spoke in Aramaic, and some Aramaic words still remain unchanged, like Talitha, Kumi means little girl, arise, Mark 5 verse 41. Up until the 10th century, Greek texts were written entirely in uppercase letters referred to as uncials, or large hand, but from the 9th to 15th centuries, the new lowercase writing hand of minuscules, often called cursive, gradually came to replace the older style uncials. The Greek canon is a library of 27 authoritative scrolls codex, divided into the following parts. Gospels, for accounts of Jesus Christ from different angles. Theoretically, the New Testament started after Jesus' resurrection. Acts, life of the early church. Epistles, letters to specific individuals and to churches in certain regions. Revelations, the redemptive plan of God and the conclusion of that plan. Is there only one Greek text or original written by the hand of the author? No. The various books of the New Testament were written individually and copied to be circulated amongst the churches of the ancient world. Many manuscripts have been found over the centuries in areas of the ancient Greek-speaking world, and a few, less reliable manuscripts have been discovered in Alexandria, Egypt. They are less reliable because there are contradictions in the works themselves based on the Gnostic and heretic influence. Who collected the books of the Greek canon we have today? The New Testament is a collection of authoritative books. They were written over a period of about 55 years, 40-95 AD, while the actual events took place during 8-69 AD. However, prophecies and messages expounded upon are from the beginning of creation to the future eternity. Within the first century, 50-100 AD, 23 books of the 27 books of the Greek canon we have today were already in use by the leaders in Jerusalem, Antioch, Rome, and Alexandria. The full 27 books were used by some churches as early as 170 AD, e.g. Peshitta, which had all 27 books. The development of the New Testament was not a case of a council gathering who select the books, but the result of what church apostles, bishops, and evangelists used in preaching to the people. All the councils did were agreed upon them for the universal church. As mentioned, during the first century there were four main churches, i.e. Jerusalem and Antioch known as the Eastern Church, Alexandria and Rome known as the Western Church. The church in Antioch regularly asked the other three churches what they used, and they were mostly all using the same books. Obviously, Revelations was not included then because it was written at the end of the first century, in 95 AD. In the early second century, this book was also included. The others, such as Hebrews, 2 Peter, and 3 John, which were written within first century, were included in the universally later, universal church, all churches, but many churches were already using the 27 books, e.g. Asia Minor, Peshitta. Hebrews was agreed by the council for the universal church in 260 AD plus, 2 Peter and 3 John in 369 AD. So we could say that all the churches were using the 27 books we have today from 369 AD, but many churches were already using the 27 book from 150 AD. What criteria did God give his children in discovering the Greek canon? We don't have their criteria, but we can see the criteria based on the books that they used and which other later councils agreed upon. The following needed to be true to be accepted in the Greek canon. 1. Were the writers Jesus Christ's disciples or brothers? Jesus recognized them as his disciples and he taught them. 2. Did the leadership of the first church recognize other writers as inspired by God or used their material? Leadership was James, Peter, John. Yes, Jesus spoke with Paul on Paul's way to Damascus and again later. Peter, under the guidance of Holy Spirit, recognized the message that Jesus Christ gave Paul and told people to listen to him, 2 Peter 3 verses 15 to 16. Therefore, Paul's writings were included in the writings. The Gospel of Mark, the Papias, describes Mark as the interpreter of Peter. Therefore, the Gospel of Mark was included. Even though there were many manuscripts in the 1st to 3rd century, someone needed to compile them. These extant manuscripts, MSS, and Greek were brought together by various editors such as Lucian, 250-312 AD. These were then filtered by the church council, building on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Ephesians 2 verse 20, as to which were the authoritative books, see the criteria below. Then most of the New Testament manuscripts as we know today were circulated throughout the early church. The Greek canon was only established at some point during 130 AD 325 AD. In 367 AD, the complete New Testament as we know it today was in circulation based on the writings from the early church. Could the gospel writers have remembered so much of the details so many years later? 1. Jesus' word stopped people in their tracks, and his style of storytelling would be hard to forget. The Jewish people used to memorize large texts, not like today, because scrolls were very expensive to own. 2. A few people in the concentration camps memorized the entire New Testament to ensure they remembered it. There were also many who memorized all the Gospels. Today there are theater shows of people reciting word for word the accounts of the Gospels. So it is possible that they memorized Jesus' words. 3. Matthew was a tax collector and knew shorthand. 4. The disciples could have taken some personal notes over their years with Jesus. 5. Holy Spirit was in them reminding them just like Jesus said he would. What's even more amazing is that the four Gospels match 100%. If two witnesses in a court of law, today or back then, are questioned and when they have the same testimony it is considered as truth. How much more for saying the exact same things written in different parts of the world by different people? That's amazing. Also, the Torah, writings, Psalms, and prophets support the Gospels. There is not one contradiction. This would only be possible with divine intervention, proving that the scriptures were inspired by God himself. If we don't have the originals, what do we have and can it be trusted as the Word of God? With the development of the printing press in the mid-15th century, there were many handwritten manuscripts available. Over the next few centuries, numerous men set about collecting, combining, and comparing the manuscripts in order to have one complete Greek New Testament text to print. One of the earliest of these is the text we know of as the Textus Receptus or Received Text. This work has not stopped, and today scholars are continuing to collect and collate manuscripts in an effort to produce what they believe to be a better Greek text. The most recent of these is the work, based upon the less reliable manuscripts, published through the United Bible Societies. This is commonly called the critical text, for a number of reasons which will be listed below in the translation section. Total New Testament manuscripts, 5,300 Greek MSS plus 10,000 Latin Vulgates plus 9,300 others equals 24,000 copies. According to research done by Kurt and Barbara Alland, a total of 230 manuscript portions are currently in existence which predate 600 AD. These can be broken down into 192 Greek New Testament manuscripts, 5 Greek lectionaries containing scripture, and 33 translations of the Greek New Testament. Of the 5,300 plus, these range from small fragments containing 2 or 3 verses to nearly entire Bibles. The ages vary from the 2nd to the 16th century. The manuscripts end with the arrival of printing. The early church did not have the same rigorous system of approved copyists used for copying the Old Testament. Anyone who wanted a copy would make their own or employ a scribe to make it for him. This is an onerous task, and it is not surprising that errors were introduced. Most of the variations are linguistic, variations in spelling or word order, omission or inclusion of a word or clause. The more manuscripts we have, the better, i.e. the more copies we have, the better we can compare between them and thus know if the document we now read corresponds with the original. It is much like a witness to an event. If we have only one witness to the event, there is the possibility that the witness's agenda or even an exaggeration of the event has crept in and we would never know the full truth. But if we have many witnesses, the probability that they all got it wrong becomes insignificant. heresies were already becoming a serious problem during the lifetime of the apostolic writers, and the situation deteriorated even further after the death of the Apostle John. There was a temptation to adjust the text to suit the heretical prejudices of the copyist or his employer. Handwritten copies of the New Testament would normally be used until they wore out and fell apart, but if one was recognized to be unreliable, it would not be used or would be discarded while still in good physical condition. Bad complete copies are therefore more likely to have survived only to be discovered centuries later. Since the 1880s, most contemporary translations of the New Testament have relied upon a relatively few manuscripts discovered chiefly in the late 19th and early 20th centuries. Such translations depend primarily on two manuscripts, largest complete works, Codex Vaticanus and Codex Sinaiticus, said to be older text, but it is not. The Greek text obtained by using these sources and the related papyri, our most ancient manuscripts, is known as the Alexandrian text. However, some scholars have grounds for doubting the faithfulness of Vaticanus and Sinaiticus, since they often disagree with one another, and Sinaiticus exhibits excessive omission. Oldest Greek manuscripts and Bible. Older manuscripts are fragments of verses and/or chapters of Bible books. Some are named, but most are numbered. P1, Papyri No. 1, through P5300 in Qumran Cave 7, 7Q. The following is a list of the oldest, 7Q O'Callaghan 60-100 AD. 7Q means 7th Cave of Qumran. Of the hundreds of known papyrus scroll fragments found at Qumran, there were some New Testament quotes fragments discovered by Jesuit papyrologist Jose O'Callaghan in 1972 in the 7th Cave at Qumran, Mark 6 verses 52-53 dated to 60-100 AD, picture 7Q5. Others that appear to be, "For the earth bringeth forth fruit of herself." Mark 4 verse 28. "And he saw them toiling and rowing." Mark 6 verse 48. "And Jesus answering said unto them, Render to Caesar." Mark 12 verse 17. "And when they had eaten enough, they lightened the ship." Acts 27 verse 38. "And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ." Romans 5 verses 11-12. "And without controversy great is the mystery of godliness." 1 Timothy 3 verse 16. 7Q4, "For if any be a hearer of the word, and not a doer." James 1 verses 23-24. The John Rylands fragment, 117-138 AD, P52, dated to be 125 AD, 8 papyrus codex, 2.5 by 3.5 inches. The papyrus is written on both sides and contains portions of five verses from the Gospel of John, 18:31-33, 37-38. Because this fragment was found in Egypt a distance from the place of composition, Asia Minor, it demonstrates the chain of transmission. The fragment belongs to the John Rylands Library in Manchester, England. Magdalen Papyrus, P64, 200 AD, the papyrus scraps had been housed at the library of Magdalen College for more than 90 years, the gift of a British chaplain, Rev. Charles Hewlett, who bought them at an antiquities market in Luxor, Egypt. Using new tools such as a scanning laser microscope along with more conventional handwriting analysis, Tita redates the fragments, previously dated in the mid to late 2nd century, to sometime before 66 AD in three places on the Magdalen Papyrus. The name of Jesus is written as KS, an abbreviation of the Greek word Kyrios, or Lord. Portions of the Gospel of Matthew dating them to 200 AD, some sources have dated them to before 66 AD. P67, 200 AD, portions of Gospel of Matthew P4, 200 AD, portions of Luke Bodmer Papyri, 200 AD, P66, P72-75, dating from 200 AD or earlier. The Bodmer collection of papyri, P66, P.72, P.75, contains 104 leaves. P.66 contains the Gospel of John 1:1-6:11, 635-1426, 14-21. P72 has the earliest no copy of Jude, 1 Peter, and 2 Peter also contains other canonical and apocryphal books. P75 contains most of Luke and John dated between 175 and 225 AD. It is the earliest known copy of Luke. The exception is Pap. 8, including 1 and 2 Peter, which was given as a gift to Pope Paul VI in 1969. It is in the Vatican Library. The documents were discovered in Egypt. They are from both codices and scrolls. Most are papyri, but 3 are on parchment. It said that it agrees with the Alexandrian text. Chester Beatty Papyri. This important papyri consists of 3 codexes and contains most of the New Testament. P45, P46, P47. The first codex, P45, has 30 leaves, pages, of papyrus codex, 2 from Matthew, 2 from John, 6 from Mark, 7 from Luke, and 13 from Acts. P46, Paul's epistles. P47 is made of 10 leaves from Revelation. List of the earliest complete, semi-complete, versions, 150-500 AD. Peshitta, started 150 AD 5th century, Peshitto, 170 AD 6th century, and the Curatonian Syriac, 3rd century, are the oldest manuscripts in existence of the New Testament. The name Peshitta in Aramaic means straight, in other words, the original and pure New Testament. The Peshitta is the only authentic and pure text which contains the books in the New Testament that were written in Aramaic, the language of Mshika, the Messiah, and his disciples. There is a difference between Peshitta, Eastern, and Peshitto, Western. The content is very similar. The Peshitta excludes 2 Peter, 2 John, 3 John, Jude, and Revelation. It has 22 New Testament books, where the Peshitto includes them, 27 books. The 2nd century Assyrian apologist, Tatian, created a harmony of the 4 Peshitta Gospels to provide a complete life of Jesus. This Aramaic version is known as the Diatessaron, meaning Gospel Harmony. It is generally accepted by most scholars as being published around 175 AD or earlier. The Arabic translation of the Assyrian Diatessaron heavily indicates that it stems from the Peshitta. Means the Peshitta would be around 175 AD the latest. Greek Codex Sinaiticus, Codex A, 331 AD is popular but not true. It is more likely a 1840 AD version done by Constantine Simonides, corrections made by his uncle and then others. It contains almost all of the New Testament and over half of the Septuagint and additional books. In 1933, it was purchased from Russia by Great Britain and is now housed in the British Museum. This isn't to be trusted as a source. Greek, the Codex Vaticanus, 331 AD is popular but not true. It only came out after the Codex Sinaiticus in order to support Sinaiticus controversy. It was then alleged to have been in the library since 15th century. Codex B contains most of the Bible, Septuagint and New Testament and additional books. This manuscript is currently housed in the Vatican Library in Rome. It originally contained the whole Bible plus additional books, but parts have been lost. Gothic version, 350 AD. Egyptian versions, the Memphitic, or Lower Egyptian, less properly called Coptic, belonging to the 4th or 5th century. As does the Thebaic, or Upper Egyptian, less properly called the Sahidic, belonging to the 3rd century. Latin Vulgate New Testament, 389 AD. A Roman Catholic scholar, Jerome, was commissioned by Pope Damasus I to revise the Old Latin text, Vetus Latina, on the 4 Gospels, with the best Greek manuscripts of the day. He completed it 384 AD, then was forced out of Rome in 385 AD and settled in Bethlehem, where he continued working on the rest of the New Testament. It is believed that he made some changes to the rest of the New Testament between 385 to 389 AD before he started translating the Old Testament Hebrew text into Latin 390 to 405 AD. The entire Bible was translated into Latin 405 AD. This Bible became the standard in the Catholic Church for well over 1,000 years. Greek Codex Alexandrinus, 425 AD, Codex A, almost the entire Bible, Septuagint and New Testament. It is currently housed in the British Museum, complete except 40 leaves. Greek Codex Ephraemi, 400-450 AD, Codex C represents most of the New Testament except 2 Thess. and 2 John. Codex Bezi, 450 AD, Codex D contains the four Gospels and Acts in Greek and Latin. Codex Washingtonensis, 450 AD, Codex W, sometimes called Codex Furianus, contains the four Gospels. Codex Claremontanus, 500s, Codex D, P, contains the Pauline epistles. Syriac Aramaic, the Philoxenian and the Jerusalem, both 5th century. Copied from Peshitta and Peshitto. Armenian, 5th century, the Ethiopic, 4th to 7th century, the Georgian, 6th century, Codex Climasi Rescriptus, Syriac, 6th century, fragments of Palestinian Syriac texts of the Gospels, of the Acts of the Apostles, and of St. Paul's Epistles. Codex Vaticanus and Sinaiticus 331 AD 1841 AD, the entire Bible, Old Testament and New Testament, but only the New Testament is used in the critical text, Codex Vaticanus. It includes most of the Septuagint version of the Old Testament and most of the New Testament. It contains 759 leaves measuring 10 by 10.5 inches. It was written on fine vellum, tanned animal skins, and remains in excellent condition because it is so new. In spite of being in excellent condition, it omits Genesis 1:1-46:28, 2 Kings 2, Psalms 106-138, Matt 16:2-3, the Pauline pastoral epistles, 1 and 2 Tim, Hebrews 9:14-13:25, Titus and all of Revelations. These parts were left out on purpose. Besides all that, in the Gospels alone, it leaves out 237 words, 452 clauses, and 748 whole sentences. The Vaticanus also contains the Apocrypha, which are pre-New Testament writings that do not appear in the Hebrew Old Testament. The Codex Vaticanus is owned by the Roman Catholic Church and is housed in the Vatican Library, Vatican City. Codex Sinaiticus. The considered by Catholics and the American Bible Institution to be one of the most important witnesses to the Greek text of the New Testament dated in the 4th century. But this isn't true, no proof that it is 4th century except for the way the letters are written. This is the work of Constantine Simonides, much proof of this. The manuscript was found in 1844 at St. Catherine's Monastery at the foot of Mt. Sinai in Egypt by a man named Constantin von Tischendorf. It was acquired for the Tsar of Russia. Sinaiticus contains over 1/2 of the Old Testament, Septuagint, and all of the New Testament except for Mark 16 verses 9 to 20 and John 7:53-8:11. It also contains the Old Testament Apocrypha plus adds to the New Testament, the Shepherd of Hermes and the Epistle of Barnabas. Sinaiticus is written on 364.5 pages measuring 13.5 by 14 inches. The material is good vellum made from antelope skins. There are corrections and revisions on nearly every page of the manuscript made by 10 different people, 23,000. In 1933, it was purchased by the British government for $500,000. Neither Sinaiticus nor Vaticanus contain the last 12 verses of Mark, Mark 16 verses 9 to 20, even though the verses are included in some earlier fragments and in the writings of church leaders, even one cited by scholars as early as the 2nd century. For perspective, out of a total of 620 Greek manuscripts which contain the Gospel of Mark, only the Sinaiticus and Vaticanus omit these 12 verses. Critical Alexandrian Text. Greek Codex Alexandrinus, 425 AD, also used as a basis for the critical or minority text, critical text, the critical text basis for NASB, NIV, ESV, and most other modern-day versions. The Alexandrian text is mainly based on just two primary manuscripts, the Vaticanus, also known as B, and the Sinaiticus, also known as Aleph, and then the Alexandrinus. It's called the critical text 19th century because it was developed by so-called textual critics. This manuscript only agrees with 85% of the Masoretic text, and these critical text sources, Sinaiticus, Vaticanus, and Alexandrinus, disagree with each other. The Greek text obtained by using these sources and related papyri is known as the Alexandrian text, which refers to the origin, not to where it was found. We know this because Alexandria is in Egypt, and North Africa, an area notorious for the Arian heresy which undermined the full deity of Christ. The destruction of North African Christianity by Islam, 670-725 AD, ensured that African texts were unknown to Bible translators until these texts were unearthed by archaeologists from the 19th century onwards. The discovery of the Alexandrian text in the 19th century caused a major upheaval in attitudes towards the New Testament and provided ammunition for liberal theologians who sought to prove that the New Testament was a document of late creation, full of errors and embellishments. These include the oldest near-complete manuscripts of the New Testament Codex Sinaiticus and Codex Vaticanus. Because the underlying Greek text varies widely relative to each other, the term eclectic text is commonly used. Eclectic means selecting what seems best of various styles or ideas, as there isn't one based on doctrine. This means that the underlying original text is formed by picking readings from different manuscripts, but the translators have not adopted a formal or systematic approach when deciding which of the various readings should be adopted based on the translator's bias. Dr. Brooke Foss Westcott, in the New Testament Canon 1855, who later was a supporter of the Alexandrian text, said that he saw no reason to desert the opinion which has obtained the sanction of the most competent scholars that the formation of the Peshitto-Syriac was to be fixed within the first half of the second century. The very obscurity which hangs over its origin is proof of its venerable age, because it shows that it grew up spontaneously among Christian congregations. Had it been a work of later date, of the 3rd or 4th century, it is scarcely possible that its history should be so uncertain as it is. But later, an Introduction to the New Testament Greek 1882 changed his view of the Peshitta, seeing how it often agreed with the Byzantine texts and against his supported Alexandrian texts. He then concluded that the Peshitta must have been a revision of the old Syriac. Many today erroneously teach this. Byzantine text. Many consider the Roman Emperor Constantine I, reigned 306-337, to be the first Byzantine emperor. As might be expected, the Byzantine texts place greater emphasis on the deity of Christ than the Alexandrian. The support for the Byzantine readings from the earlier fragments suggests that the Byzantine texts better reflect the original texts based on their high level of consistency with each other. The earliest of the Church Fathers to witness to a Byzantine text type in their New Testament quotations is John Chrysostom, 349-407 AD. Byzantine text has their origin in Europe and Asia Minor. It was found in places like Antioch, Rome, Corinth, Ephesus, and the fragments in these areas are of the BT type. The Byzantine text type has by far the largest number of surviving manuscripts from 350-1500 AD. Thus, the BT is also called the majority text. There is a difference between the majority text, all 5300 Byzantine text, and the majority text compiled in the 20th century by Hodges Farstad, 500 BT text. The received text, 1512, was primarily based on the reliable Byzantine text of that day. The Byzantine text was originally in initials, uppercase letters in Koine Greek, and then continued from the 9th century in minuscule, lowercase letters in Koine Greek. One of the earliest manuscripts we have today of the Byzantine text is said to be Codex Alexandrinus, 5th century, with only the Gospels and Byzantine the rest of the New Testament in Alexandrian text type. Another is Codex Ephraemi Rescriptus, 5th century. Some recent scholars were persuaded that the best guide to the original Greek text is the close consensus of the majority of Greek manuscripts. This meant taking the old manuscripts and in places where the majority of texts agreed, that word, or verse, or phrase was included. That was the idea. Hodges and Farstad, 1982, compiled the so-called majority text. It was based on the work of Hermann von Soden, early 20th century, where he used about 500 manuscripts, some quote 414. This is far less than 5,300 plus manuscripts and definitely not a majority. Therefore, when someone says majority, it is less than 10% of the manuscripts. In addition, the way they agreed on which text stays or ignored is dubious and similar to Westcott-Hort method of the critical text. Even though it isn't perfect, it is closer to the received text, than the Alexandrian text, critical text, except for the Book of Revelation. Today, when some refers to the majority text, they are either referring to the work done by Hodges and Farstad, 1982, or Robinson and Pierpont, 1991. It is not the entirety of the Byzantine text. The English translation of Hodges and Farstad Masoretic text is the EMTV. The English translation, EMTV, italicizes words that the English translation adds for readability. The English translation of Robinson and Pierpont Masoretic text is the MLV. There are about 400 differences between these two majority texts, most of them John 7 and 8 of the Adulteress and the Book of Revelation. Here are a few: Matthew 26 verse 11, Luke 7 verse 6, 14 verse 24, John 8:7, 9-10, Romans 12 verse 2, Col 1:14, Hebrews 10 verse 17, Revelation 2 verse 7, 4:4, 7, 11, 5:8, 11:6, 13:18, etc. H and F closer matches the received text, e.g. Revelation 13 verse 1 I verses he stood, Hodges and Farstad versus Robinson and Pierpont. MLV 1991. However, in later version of the MLV, Robinson and Pierpont was updated, and the 2018 version has I stood. Received text, Textus Receptus. Received text, 16th century text from Byzantine, 10-12th century, which stems back to the Byzantine, 4th to 5th century, the basis for KJV. Erasmus, Stephanus, Beza, and the Elsevier brothers formed the text known as Textus Receptus, received text. The most notable editor of all was Desiderius Erasmus, 1466-1536 AD. Today, the term Textus Receptus is used generically to apply to all editions of the Greek New Testament which follow the printed editions of Desiderius Erasmus. He was upset with the inaccuracy that crept into the Vulgate Bible over the years, copying errors and mistranslations based on human interpretation. Because he was a Roman Catholic scholar, he retranslated the New Testament into Latin and prepared an edition of the Greek to be printed beside his Latin version to demonstrate the text from which his Latin came, published in 1512-1513. Out of the thousands of minuscule manuscripts now known, he used the four respected at that time in his first and second editions, and for his consequent editions he used a few more reliable manuscripts. Here were the first four. This is an 11th century codex at Basel. Of the 12th century, and now at Meiningen, Bavaria. This is the only manuscript Erasmus had for Revelation, Mist Revelation 22 verses 16-21, which he retranslated from the Latin. This is a 15th century manuscript at Basel, and was that on which Erasmus most depended for his first edition, 1516. It reflects a good quality of text. Some have assigned this manuscript to the 12th century, though it was probably later. It is at Basel, and was the principal text used by Erasmus in the Acts and Epistles. Erasmus' first edition came in 1516 and his third edition in 1522. This is where all the English translations at that time were translated from. Luther used the second edition, and later it was revised to the third edition. Some of the notable changes, the difference between the earlier version and the later version, is 1 John 5 verse 7 known as the Comma Johannium, which was included in the later editions, but not in his first two. There are six received texts, but three that are source texts, bold. New Testament Complutensian Polyglot Greek Version, 1520. Erasmus published five editions, 1516, 1519, 1522, 1527, 1535. Robert Stephanus published four, 1546, 1549, 1550, 1551. Theodore Beza published at least four independent editions, 1556, 1582, 1588-89, 1598. The Elsevier family printed two editions, 1624, 1633. Scrivener published the Greek text underlying of the 1873 King James Bible, 1881. What are the differences across the received text? The differences between the various editions of the Greek received text are extremely slight compared to the differences found in the critical text sources, Sinaiticus, Vaticanus, and Codex D. According to Scriveners, there are 252 places in which the various received texts Erasmus, Stephanus, Elsevier, Beza, and Complutensian Polyglot disagree to affect the English translation in the New Testament. In contrast, the critical texts Sinaiticus, Vaticanus, and Codex D, Codex Alexandrinus Vaticanus disagrees with Sinaiticus 652 times and with Codex D 1,944 times in the Gospel of Mark alone. Sinaiticus and Vaticanus disagree with one another in more than 3,000 times in the four Gospels alone. The important differences within the received text family? Which is the most accurate based on early manuscript comparisons? Beza based on earlier non-Greek manuscripts. Beza is the most accurate, followed by Erasmus, then Stephanus. They are all very close. What received text does the King James, KJV, use? KJV used mainly the Beza received text, followed by Erasmus and then Stephanus. Based on the variations shared by Scrivener, seems that KJV used mainly Beza 45%, Erasmus 32%, and Stephanus 23%. But there are other additions that the KJV has that is not in the received text, e.g. Mark 15 verse 3, but he answered nothing, John 8 verse 6, as though he heard them not. Which edition of the received text should we use? Edward F. Hills, who had a doctorate in modern textual criticism from Harvard, made the following important statement in regard to the KJV and the received text. The King James Version is a variety of the Textus Receptus. The translators that produced the King James Version relied mainly, it seems, on the later editions of Beza's Greek New Testament, especially his fourth edition, 1588-9. But also they frequently consulted the editions of Erasmus and Stephanus and the Complutensian Polyglot. According to Scrivener, 1884, out of the 252 passages in which these sources differ sufficiently to affect the English rendering, the King James Version agrees with Beza against Stephanus 113 times, with Stephanus against Beza 59 times, and 80 times with Erasmus or the Complutensian or the Latin Vulgate against Beza and Stephanus. This source text was published in 1881 by the Cambridge University Press under the editorship of Dr. Scrivener, and there have been 8 reprints, the latest being in 1949. We ought to be grateful that in the providence of God the best form of the Textus Receptus is still available to believing Bible students how to identify which received text is used in the English translations. Received source text for translations, Erasmus, Tyndale, Coverdale, Matthews, Great Bible, Stephanus, 1560 Geneva Bible, Beza, later editions of Geneva Bible and majority of KJV. FYI, KJV 1611, 45% Beza, 32% Erasmus, and 23% Stephanus. How do you know which received text you have? I use the following: if it is Revelation 11 verse 1 angel stood, then it is Beza or later. If it omits this, then look at Luke 17 verse 36. If it is missing two men, it is Erasmus. If it has two men, then it is Stephanus. What are your thoughts on the Peshitta or Peshitto versus received text? I respect both very much, as well as the Vulgate by Jerome. The Peshitta is missing a few books, and the Peshitto, which is complete, is missing a few verses and words as compared to the received text. But some of these words and verses can be backed up with the Latin Vulgate and some of the 2nd century church authors. Both the received text and the Peshitto are very close as compared to the received text and critical text. So these are my soft reasons why I would slant towards the received text versus the Peshitta and Peshitto, but I use both of them. 1. The biggest Christian influence, the ones that transformed people's lives, most influential in the spread of the gospel through centuries, has been the received text, and the path of the text that made up the received text, and the Latin Vulgate, Catholic Church, especially in the earlier centuries, i.e. the Western Church. 2. People's lives were deeply impacted over the last 500 years with the use of the received text, where people died upholding the Word of God because they believed it to be the Word of God. Main differences between the received text and the Vulgate: there isn't a pure English translation of Jerome's Vulgate, however the closest is believed to be Wycliffe and DRB. Wycliffe being the closest. Besides the fact that the Vulgate adds the Apocrypha, the main differences between the received text and the Vulgate are: Luke 10 verse 170 in Received Text, and 72 in Vulgate. 1 Timothy 1 verse 17 has wise in Received Text, but there is no wise in Vulgate. Jude 1 verse 25 has wise in Received Text, but there is no wise in Vulgate. Most of the word for repentance, e.g. Matthew 4 verse 17, repent received text, is changed in the Latin Vulgate to do penance, approximate occurrences in the New Testament. Repentance is turning around and doing what is right, where penance is imposed punishment for a sinful act. Luke 1 verse 28, Mary has found favor with God, received text, and Vulgate, Mary full of grace. Which of the three main texts should we use, the majority, Masoretic text, received text, or critical text? The received text is based on the vast majority of the 5,309 Greek manuscripts in existence. The received text doesn't have extensive deletions, additions, and amendments, as does the critical text. Where data is missing in the critical text, the editors use the received text or Masoretic text to fill in the gaps if they choose to. This was based on the personal bias of the compilers and their doctrinal position. The received text agrees with the earliest version of the Bible translations, Syriac Peshitta, 150 AD 5th century. Others that agree are the Old Latin Vulgate, 157 AD, and the Italic Bible, 157 AD, which were all produced 200 years before the minority texts, Vaticanus and Sinaiticus. The received text agrees more with the vast majority of the 86,000 plus citations from Scripture by the early church, which I will explain later. The received text is used by Bible translators from the early Reformation until 1881. The Reformation was used to change lives back to God's Word. The received text recognizes that Gnostics and other heretics produced corrupted manuscripts, while the critical text ignores them and also ignores Masoretic text in its compilation. The critical text has a higher level of Gnostic influence with Roman and Egyptian philosophy and unbelief. For example, in the critical text, Jesus' authority has diminished significantly relative to the received text based on Gnostics who believed matter is evil and spirit is good, but do not necessarily believe that Jesus was God or Lord or the only way to heaven, and thus made changes based on their philosophy. This is evident throughout the critical text, where Jesus referred to as Lord is removed. This is deliberate tampering with Holy Scripture. The received text and Masoretic text tradition best concurs with God's promise to preserve his words, PS 12:6-7, Matt 24:35, Luke 16 verse 17, and upholds the deity of Jesus Christ, explained later. Aren't the received text, Masoretic text, and critical text all about the same? No, only 85% of their texts agree with each other, and key biblical pillars vary. It is believed by some scholars, based on context, that the received text agrees with the Masoretic text 99% of the time in its handling of variants, and the critical text agrees with the Masoretic text 98% of the time, but that is matter of opinion. The primary premise of the received text is to ensure that all the Scripture is included. The primary premise for the critical text is that the Bible should be treated just like any other book, and assumes Christian scribes deliberately altered difficult readings to help us understand the text better. In the 1950s, a valuable cache of 96 New Testament manuscripts, the papyri, were discovered. They are valuable because they were copied in 180-220 AD. They agree with the received text. In Revelations, Masoretic text and critical text mostly agree, but received text is more solid in context with Scripture, see example below. Why should we use the received text? There are many English translations, KJV, NIV, NLT, NASB, NKJV, NET, RSV, etc., and without going into too much detail, the New Testament English translations are mainly based on two Greek source texts, the received text and the critical text. The received text, AD 1522-1598, is primarily based on the Byzantine text, AD 400-1450. This is the source for some English translations, such as KJV, NKJV, YLT, and LITV, etc. The critical text, AD 1881 Westcott and Hort text. Text is used as the source for most modern English translations, such as NASB, NIV, NLT, NET, RSV, ESV, etc. It is based primarily on three Greek texts, Codex Vaticanus, Codex Sinaiticus, and the Codex Alexandrinus. Only the Codex Alexandrinus is a 5th century text. Vaticanus is believed to be a 4th century work, but records show no evidence except that it was in the Vatican from the 15-17th century. The Sinaiticus was discovered in AD 1844, supposedly another 4th century work, but the evidence supports it was the work done by paleographer Constantine Simonides at the monastery. It was taken by Tischendorf from the monastery, who then claimed he had discovered it. All three of these manuscripts were heavily edited, omit many words, and in many cases disagree with each other. Therefore, the compilers made decisions based on their preferences of what to include and what to leave out. In the late 19th century, they were compiled into one text called the Critical Text. Key editor influencers such as Eberhard Nestle and Kurt Ahlund and Yu stating that any text not found in this critical text is discredited with not found in earlier manuscripts. Implying that the other Greek texts were not found were added later. The key difference between the received text, and the critical text, is 3,000 Greek words. These missing words are scattered throughout the New Testament. Therefore, both texts cannot be true, either the words were added to the original or the critical text compilation and its source are corrupt. When compared to the received text, the following are missing from the critical text. Matthew 6 verse 13, 1247, 1721, 1811, 2314, Mark 7 verse 16, 9 verses 44 and 46, 11 verse 26, 15 verse 28, 16 verses 9 to 20, Luke 9 verses 55 and 56, 1736, 22:43-44, 2317, John 5 verses 3 to 4. 753-811, Acts 8 verse 37, 15 verse 34, 24 verses 6-8, 28 verse 29, Romans 16 verse 24, 1 Corinthians 15 verse 47, 2 Corinthians 13 verse 14, Galatians 4 verse 7, Ephesians 3 verse 9, Colossians 1 verse 2, etc. Therefore, are these words quoted by other leaders, or in other early fragments, or in other ancient texts such as Aramaic or Latin? The answer is yes. However, for those who want to validate using the English translations, use the KJV, received text AD 1522-1598, Wycliffe, Latin Vulgate 5th century, NET ESV, critical text AD 1881, refer to margin notes in U, Murdoch, Peshitta Aramaic 6th century, and Lampsa, Peshitta Aramaic 5th century. Or compare the Greek Stephanus AD 1550, received text, with Westcott Hort AD 1881, critical text. Conclusion. 1. Two of the earliest New Testament texts are the Peshitta, Eastern Church, and the Peshitta, Western Church, both written in Aramaic. Aramaic was one of the languages used by Yeshua to speak to the people of his day. These manuscripts originated in the 2nd century, however, the earliest copies can be dated to 5-6th century. These agree with the received text as they contain most of the words and passages which are missing in the critical text. 2. The early church leaders quoted many of these words and passages which agree with the received text, however, they are missing in the critical text. For example, critical text is missing Mark 16 verses 9 to 20, which the early church leaders quote. 3. A majority of the 5,300+ Greek fragments and manuscripts agree with the received text. Some scholars have argued that the error was passed down through the years. Received text scholars would argue those verses are in earlier manuscripts, Aramaic, Latin, early leaders quoted and in some Greek fragments, and that the Greek text found in Alexandria which supports the critical text has been tampered with. Gnosticism was discovered in the same location as revealed through history. God has preserved his word through the ages, and the critical text 1881 AD started the corruption of God's word within certain Bible societies. 4. Reformationists were those who God used to get people back to trusting the Word of God. They used the received text.